you had two brands that people knew in the industry. Why would you go with the name of the holding company?
You know, there's a lot of reasons. A really good question. Because, I mean, your choices are stick with the brand equity that you have and the preconceived notions and impressions of those brands, or try to introduce something fresh and new. Okay. And I think what we wanted to do when we looked at the marketplace was to say that the market's kind of looking for alternatives right now. They're looking for something fresh and new. And when people did business with Resolution Products, first thing came to mind is amazing hardware. When they did business with IP Datatel, they thought amazing network. We didn't really want that kind of isolated impression of what we're doing. We wanted to introduce something that is fresh and new. It's a big alternative to maybe some of the stagnant solutions that are already out there in the marketplace. So it gave us a chance, and it was a tough decision, but I think that the team rallied behind this and really said, you know what, we want to be something new and fresh and modern and unique in a space that's kind of in need of that. I mean, the whole industry seems like, and this is me after 2 months, so I don't profess to be an expert, but it seems like the industry really is going through a major inflection point. You've got home automation and DIY and, you know, Ring.com, Amazon, and all these other things that are out there happening, right? And then you've got consumers that are wanting to buy more and more products, and not only security, but video and BI and all the other things. So it's really a big inflection point. And I think that we wanted to really represent that we're changing the game a little bit.
Okay.
And you got to do that by changing your name. There's a risk to that.
Okay.
Sure.
So how do you feel that Alua stacks up now against, say, Honeywell or Alarm.com or some of the other, you know, stalwarts of the home automation area?
You know, the two companies you mentioned are both great companies. I have tremendous admiration for both of them. But they're the establishment, and they've been doing things the same way for a long time. And I think what we've tried to do is do things differently.
Okay.
And I think from the design of the system to the way that we go to market to even our company culture and our name, we're trying to do things a little bit differently. And I, a couple of big differences, because you're probably wondering, well, why are you different? You know, it gets all the way back to, you know, let's start with the sensors, because it is truly sensors to network, end to end.
Okay.
So one roadmap, one development team, one neck to grab from a support standpoint. Something goes wrong, you call us.
Right.
You don't have to call the network provider or the software provider or the hardware provider or the sensor. You call us.
Okay.
So it's one neck to grab. That's a different approach for this marketplace. No more finger pointing. But when you look at it, the sensor's fully encrypted. Right, and again, using the foundation of Resolution Products Engineering, these guys were brilliant at what they did, and I think the customers I've talked to just love what they've received from them. So, but that encryption flows all the way through the system,
okay,
all the way back to the network. And you really can only drive that if you own the end-to-end picture, right? It seems simple, okay, encrypt a sensor. Well, that data's got to be encrypted. One of our competitors, I won't name names, but they send data encrypted and unencrypted both. Well, if you send it unencrypted, there's no reason to encrypt it because you've already exposed yourself to cyber terrorism and hackers.
So it's not like some of it is encrypted
it's
and
all
some
encrypted.
Of it isn't?
Correct. It's all
okay.
Encrypted. So encrypted sensors, back to we're hub first. What does hub first mean? It means if you want to, you can unlock yourself from the panel on the wall. And I know that in some cases that's blasphemy because there's all these really cool panels that are out there.
Right.
And we do have a really cool panel. But we really, what we're trying to drive is a mobile application suite that can run on a panel, phone, tablet, or whatever it might be, and try to break people free from this 20-year-old notion that you have to have a panel on the wall. Because when you put a panel on the wall, it may look really cool right now. There's a lot of really cool panels here at the show. I mean,
right.
Phenomenal technology. 2 years from now, it's not going to look so cool, right? But it's on your wall. It's stuck.
Right.
Well, 2 years from now, if I use this, I got a new one.
Right.
It stays new and cool. So there's a difference, and it's a different mindset that we're really trying to change. Again, if you want a panel, because some people don't want to give it up, they're locked in the matrix.
Right.
We'll still
do
a panel.
You can have both.
You can have both.
Yeah.
But we'll give you choices to be able to do that. So, you know, that's different. The network is IP centric. Some of our competitors are cell centric, and what does that mean? It means faster response times, so millisecond response times,
okay.
Lower costs. We want to be a lower cost alternative, not a lower value, or excuse me, a lower capability, but a better value, lower cost capability, because our system costs are low. When you're IP first, if you're, you can be IP only, or you can add cellular if you want to. That allows us to drive costs down over time. And again, a lot of people say, no, I have to have cell. Well, they're kind of in that matrix where they feel like they have to have cell. Great, you can add it if you want to, but you don't have to have it. And not every implementation is going to require you to have cell backup. I mean, your Alexa, there's no cell, right?
Right.
Your Google Home,
right.
There's no cell. Some of these mission critical things, there's no cell. It's all IP based. And it's Ethernet direct connection, so you don't have to worry about flaky Wi-Fi. Direct connection to Ethernet, you're good to go, and you're ready to go. So those are just some of the differences that we have out there.
Okay.
But it's all kind of wrapped together around, we feel like we can offer a better value because of the way the system's been built, and we can innovate faster because we really have end-to-end capabilities and that nobody else really has out there. The one of the big ones you mentioned, yeah, they have end-to-end, but it's all between different divisions of the company.
Right.
You know, again, we're mid-sized, nimble, you know, and that's part of our culture. We're going to move fast. We're going to fail fast. We're going to move fast. We're going to respond fast to customer needs. We're going to get it done. We're going to use that as our advantage.
Okay.
And we're going to change the game. I mean, we really are.
So I'm not familiar with how many dealers Resolution brought to the table as a whole.
Yeah.
But there is a war for dealer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A big struggle in this industry for dealers among all these, you know, different companies. Where are you on dealer recruiting, like, you know, or, you know, having somebody break away from one of those other companies and come to Alula? I mean, it's got to be an uphill climb, or, you know.
It absolutely is. And you know, we're making some good progress. We've had a number of nice conversions. You know, one of them was our original press release, you know, to make the conversion over. But we already work with about 3,500 dealers.
Okay.
So when you look
at... So that
was
how many Resolution brought? Or
That's between the two companies.
Because I didn't know if IP Datatel even had dealers.
Well, IP Datatel measures more 250,000 to 300,000 number of units on the network, but the similar dealer mix, and that may be even more than that, but most of the 3,500 is Resolution products, but I think there's a lot of overlap in terms of who they're working with. Well, two strategies, right? One is convert dealers that are using other legacy systems, and that's going well. You know, it's not easy. I don't want to give you the impression, because they're great companies, and they've been there for a long time, but some of those are struggling. We can get those converted over. So go after that. And then on the other side, the new markets. And the new markets, to Dan's point, if you want to start up DIY, we can do that. It's a modular system.
Right.
You can do DIY. I installed one in my house last week in 15 minutes to install the solution. Let's say you want to leave with home automation, and you want to put a home automation Z-Wave device in, and then maybe add security later. You can do that. There's so many different things you can do with the modularity of the system that you can't do with an expensive, you know, panel. The panel is great for certain things, for a slice of the market. What we can do is kind of work around the builders, SMB. I mean, all these guys can start to use our system in ways that they haven't been able to use the legacy systems, the traditional systems that are out there.
I guess another draw of some of those companies we've been talking about, the other companies, is the back end stuff. You know, where are you guys on that angle, you know, beyond the technology, the back end? You know,
the marketing tools,
marketing
analytics,
tools, you know, helping businesses grow, that sort of thing.
So, you know, candidly, a year ago, we didn't have nearly the amount that we wanted to be, because we weren't focused on that.
Okay.
But over the last year, Dan and his team in particular have really worked to ramp up our dealer marketing tools.
Okay.
We're doubling down even more on that. And we now have a nice package suite of marketing tools that a dealer can use to try to acquire their customers. And that's going to get better and better and better. That's a key area of focus for us right now. Analytics side, again, we have rudimentary basic offering for analytics, things that they can do, but we're going to be spending more and more investment in that area to be able to help dealers say, okay, who are my at-risk customers? Who's using what? What customer is viable to use what services in the future? So not only start to react to who's using what, but to predict what customers should I begin to cross-sell this other capability.
Exactly. That's really important, I feel like. So. That's good.
Yeah. So the analytics side, I'd call us a 3 on a scale of 10 right now.
Okay.
Getting much, much better. And we'll be a 8 or 9. I never like to give us a 10, but 8 or 9 by the end of this year.
Okay.
And then on the marketing side, you know, we're ramping up quickly. And we've got some nice tools now ramping up. But it's a big part. I mean, these dealers are under assault, right? They've got DIY coming at them. They've got home automation companies coming at them. They've got all these, you know, connected home things coming at them. The traditional dealer model is under assault. And what we want to do, again, is give a modern, fresh approach to them to be able to compete in that. But we're never going to go around our dealers.
Okay.
We will not do that. And some of our competitors that you mentioned have gone around dealers, and we're not going to go around, and we're going to stay focused, but we're going to allow them to compete with these forces. Because if they don't have things and tools that allow them to compete, they're not going to, they may survive, but they're not going to grow.
Right.
And a lot of these guys want to grow.